I'm Steve Potter, and ahead on Cityscape, our guests from Sauce Magazine will explore the best places in the St. Louis area for brunch. Next week's St. Louis Fringe Festival gives some unique artists a platform they might not otherwise have. And joining us with details, Festival Director Empiro, Fringe Family Director Amanda Pintori, and Bonnie Taylor of First Time Puppet Theater. Hi, welcome to you all.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Empiro, this Fringe Festival concept, the whole concept, can be traced back to an event that happened back in the 1940s.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Fringe festivals began in the 1940s in Edinburgh, Scotland. So Edinburgh was the home to a very prominent international arts festival that was very well respected, but was a little bit exclusive of some of the more independent local artists in the city. So we like to call it Occupy Edinburgh. A few of the more grassroots performers decided to rally together and started their own side festival on the fringes of the international festival. And their work was so fresh and new and breathtaking and just such the product of such passion that it then grew to become now the largest arts festival in the world. And 300 festivals that follow this model have cropped up worldwide. There's over 40 in the United States alone. And ours joined the scene 3 years ago.
And it's unique as festivals go, and we'll get into that. Amanda Pintori, the Fringe Festival runs next Wednesday through Sunday, and you're coordinating the Fringe Family, which is a two-day event or two-evening event, Saturday and Sunday. What's all that about?
Sure. So we realized that we wanted to make sure that the festival was accessible to families and the young artists that we hope are cultivating in St. Louis. So we decided to create a family-based event. It runs both days from 2 to 4:30 p.m. in Strauss Park, which is kind of our Fringe Central Station. And there, what's wonderful, it's meant for all ages and it's completely free. So families are more than welcome to walk up. They're going to explore art, eat pancakes with Dr. Dan the Pancake Man. There's going to be airbrush art, improv dance workshops, even American Sign Language workshops for young people.
Now, is the reason you have a Fringe family areas because maybe not all the Fringe events are for the whole family?
Well, all of our outdoor events are absolutely family friendly. In fact, the Fringe Family event is adjacent to our Street Fringe outdoor performance stage. So what's wonderful is they can walk right across the lawn and sit and watch a show also if they want to. In our program guide, you'll see that all of the shows have a listing about whether or not they're family friendly.
Yeah, okay. And it is true that of the 35 shows that we have in the festival, they range from family friendly to adult content. So there really is something for everyone, whatever it is that tailors to your particular aesthetic for the arts, but we did want to make sure that we were accessible to all parts of the community as well.
Bonnie Taylor, you're the director of First Time Puppet Theater. Is that a family-friendly deal?
It's family-friendly, but I think this piece this year is really for teens and older. You think with puppet it's going to be for children, but this really is a more sophisticated sort of puppetry.
All right, we'll let you talk more about that a little bit later. But great. Bonnie, what makes the artists in your group fringe performers then?
Because we're trying new work. And without an institution or an infrastructure, it's kind of hard to try out new work. Secondly, we're collaborating. First Time Puppet Theater is collaborating with the Helix Effect, comprised of Audrey Symes and Paige Walden and Elliot Gillette, and they come from a dance, performance art, mixed media sort of background, and I'm a theater background, and so we're sort of creating, with the puppetry, creating something very new.
So there's puppetry, there's theater, there's dance, music, comedy, just a little bit about everything. And you said something about grassroots performers. So the kind of performers that would be involved in the Fringe Festival would be performers maybe we wouldn't see at the main theater houses around town, right?
It's true. It's really the thing about Fringe is that everything is independently produced. So you might have someone who's totally a fresh new face that you've never seen before, or you might have someone that's more tenured on the scene who just has a project that they want to produce that falls outside of a conventional medium. You know, that maybe you have, you know, we have, for example, Act Two Theater is going to be producing with our festival. They have full seasons that they do in St. Charles, but maybe they want to reach a more urban audience, or maybe they have work that doesn't fit in their regular season and the Fringe becomes an outlet for them. So people produce in the Fringe for a whole array of different reasons.
Well, give me an example then of last year, Amanda and Bonnie. Does anything come to mind? Maybe not necessarily something that you did, but something that you saw that stuck with you from last year that impressed you or you thought was interesting?
I was so involved in my own show, I didn't get out to see the other shows.
Oh, is that right?
So this year, I intend to do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Anything you're interested in particular?
Well, I'm interested in seeing Chris Limber's riffs. He's written some fabulous poetry, and he's working with local musicians like Michelle Isom and Joe Dreyer. And so I think it'll be very interesting.
I've definitely got one. Even though I was working the festival, I made sure to try to sneak and see a few shows. And there was a performer named Kayla Lipovsky who had come all the way from Chicago and produced something called Kayla's Music Show. And it was a performing art piece that was, I thought it was wildly entertaining. It was great.
Well, I've got some things I want to ask you about, things that are coming up this year in a moment. But here are three things that I'm reading over the French Festival stuff that stuck in my mind. Uncensored, unjuried, and diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk about those elements?
Sure. I like to use the term open access. So yes, we are uncensored and we are unjuried. Sometimes when people hear those words, they can be trigger words. So they go to extreme parts of the spectrum. But really, the people who are producing this work are very committed to it and committed to its success. So you don't tend to have stuff that's particularly abrasive in the festival. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we really try to step away from the content of the work, and we trust the artist to bring work that they find valuable. And we provide them, the word that Bonnie used earlier was infrastructure. They submit and are accepted to the festival way back in January. And so we work with them for 6 months to talk about what is it that you want to do, what are the resources that you need, and how do we make your work successful? And then they kind of have freedom to blossom within that.
Well, help me understand, if it's unjuried then, how are the acts or the talent chosen?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that, Bonnie, your experience?
Well, first of all, it was midnight on what day we had to go to the computer and we had to type in all our application and press a button. So you're basically first come, first served. It's like going on Southwest Airlines. So I think I ended up maybe B24 the first time. And then we have a second opportunity called the quick draw. And that is a lottery. And we were successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really, getting into the festival, it's kind of random, but there has to be a commitment on the professional end of the performer. So they have to be, you know, either one of those first in line where you can tell that they're very serious about it, they've filled out their form completely and correctly, and boom, hit go. Or they're part of this lottery, they've come to the lottery drawing, they've been involved, they've been engaged, their name gets drawn, you know. And we find that what this does, by removing a jury panel, we get a really true, unbiased cross-section of the work that's happening in the community. You don't have a group of worthies sitting here saying, well, this is what we should have and this is what our community needs to see. No, we're just a reflection of what the people in our city and around the country want to bring to St. Louis audiences.
Uh-huh. So during the 4 days, there are different activities or different performances, different events that are going on at different times, I guess, or simultaneously sometimes?
Yes. There are about 120 single events that will take place over the course of the 5 days.
It's 5 days.
Yes. Wednesday to Sunday.
Right.
We have six indoor venues that are all within a walkable distance in Grand Center. And then we have some outdoor stages as well. So there's a plethora of activity going on, and truly you can just have your pick of, you can piece together. It's like a choose your own adventure for the performing arts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just throw out a few things that caught my attention on the schedule and see what you have to say about that. In the theater category, Act Two Theater is doing a comedy opera.
Yes, they're actually doing what they call a remix of a Gilbert and Sullivan show called Trial by Jury.
Then Salt House Collective, this is what it said about that. Cupcakes, love, sequins, tap dancing in a bubbly, magical mystery extravaganza.
Yes, yes. So that's a performer who's from St. Louis originally, has been working in Philadelphia and Colorado, and is coming back to St. Louis, and this is kind of her return premiere. And she does a very kind of unconventional approach to theater. It's kind of popular on the East Coast, as they say. But she does a very interactive, involved version of storytelling through theater. From what I hear, it's an extravaganza. I'm excited to take part of it.
In dance, there's Leverage Dance Theater. They're a local group, are they not?
They are, yes. Uh-huh. And this is their third year producing with the Fringe Festival, actually.
And there's The Forefront, music and dance from the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Mm-hmm. That's also a group of performers that are internationally acclaimed. They're very well-known instructors and performers of swing dance, and we're thrilled to have them. They were here last year, had a phenomenal show. We partner with them frequently throughout the year, and we're thrilled that they have an opportunity to produce their own full-length dance show, choreographed dance show at the Fringe.
Now, most of the acts are local.
Most of the acts are local, mm-hmm. that's true. So we have 25 local acts and 10 national acts. We actually have about three times as many people submit to the festival. So we talked about our admission process earlier. And then the folks who are in are just like really take the opportunity and run with it.
And other categories in music, these are, and the ones I'm mentioning are just a couple. I mean, there are many more. In music, there's Eric Barnes, Songs and Stories by People That He's Met and Experiences that we can all relate to. Also, there's some Japanese drumming and some classical chamber music.
Yes. Actually, and the classical chamber music is very exciting. All the acts are really exciting, but that one is particularly unique. It's actually a full-length didgeridoo show with oboe and viola and violin chamber music. And those are two performers who kind of met, you know, reacquainted with one another through the Fringe process and decided they, instead of doing their show solo, they wanted to collaborate and do a full-length show.
Bonnie, First Time Puppet Theater is presenting a production called Landslide. What's that about?
Well, it's conceived, written, and directed by me in collaboration with the Helix Effect. And Landslide is about a young middle-aged woman who has been struck by early-onset Alzheimer's.
This is not a comedy.
No, it's a very tragic personal experience, but I'm hoping that what we do is have a redemptive piece to it.
So your puppet's a hand puppet, big puppet's what?
It's a big puppet, about 4 feet. It has to be operated by three people. When I first conceived of this, I thought of it as running in a sort of linear fashion from her onset to her demise. And the Helix Effect very brilliantly suggested, let's go in reverse. In other words, to sort of build her humanity. So when she does ascend, we see her as a full human being.
Sounds interesting.
Well, it's a very interesting story. It's interesting to tell that kind of story with a puppet because a puppet is sort of in the same condition as a person with Alzheimer's. And it's early onset, and I don't think most people know that young people are struck by this as well. And I'm particularly excited because the Alzheimer's Association is sort of working with us, and they're going to support us. We have this as a fundraiser for them in that half of our ticket price goes to a donation.
So there's an educational element to this, not just entertainment.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think one thing that theater does so well is that it can put you into the experience of the disease with the attempt to sort of create more empathy and compassion for a young family struggling.
Amanda, with all this various type of performers and, you know, different times and different locations, what's the best way for a person to kind of plan what they want to do? Do you show up and just walk around, or what would you advise?
Well, you have a couple different options. What's nice about our Fringe Central Station is that if you're more of a person that wants to see things right up close, we do have those schedules that are going to be there. They're going to be written up all over the place, so you can go there, look at the full schedules that are set out. Another really fantastic way to do it is we are having our opening night party on Wednesday, June 18th, starting at 5, and that's a really great way to get to know our community, get to know a lot of the artists that are going to be there, also see some sneak performances, but you can really scope out not only the grounds, but the full schedules. It's also all available online, and we do have our Ghostlight program guide that can kind of walk you step by step when you arrive.
A couple of elements I want you to explain. There's a patron lounge that's located at the Foo Bar on Locust, and they had some events here. Please explain this.
Always promising.
Executive Transvestites, uh-huh. Alice in Fringeland, and a hip-hop showdown.
Yes, yes, a Lindy hip-hop showdown, actually. So the Patron Lounge, so most of our activity is centered at Strauss Park. It's an outdoor venue where we have street performances. We're going to have a little...
It's right across from the Fox.
Exactly, yep. Yeah. We'll have refreshments and treats and stuff all weekend long. Fringe Family takes place there. But if people want to get out of the sun or if they want someplace a little bit more climate-controlled to hang out between shows or just to be around this creative company, they can go to our Patron Lounge. It's free. It's open to anybody. It's located at Foo Bar on the lounge side. We'll have some little micro performances and workshops there. And then we have our after parties in that venue every night. So the themes kind of reflect things that have happened throughout our season and community.
You haven't explained Executive Transvestite.
Yes. Okay. So that actually comes from a campaign we've been doing all season. Eddie Izzard is going to be at the Fox on that Thursday during our festival, which the Fox is right in our footprint. And he actually got his start at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So our effort to kind of welcome him to the city and to the community was to pay homage to him being an executive transvestite, which is one of the bits from his stand-up. So we've been kind of playing with that all season, and it's just kind of our way to celebrate him being here and the independence that Fringe represents. And so that's going to be the theme of our party that night.
There's a Street Fringe, Fringe Nights, Mm-hmm. Have we mentioned those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the closing event at the Patron Lounge, that'll be on Sunday evening.
Exactly. Yes. So,
anything else we need to know?
Tickets are available right now on our website. The Ghost Light is our program guide, a small magazine which we're producing that we initiated this year, is available at different little spots throughout the city and also on our grounds.
It's the third annual St. Louis Fringe Festival running next Wednesday through Sunday. That's June 18th through 22nd. Fringe Central is at 3526 Washington, which is right there at Strauss Park,
yep,
across from the Fox. Mm-hmm. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Fringe Festival's website. Remember, the kickoff party is Wednesday the 18th from 5 to 10 at 3534 Washington. So I'm thinking that the bottom line is this is a kind of entertainment opportunity that it's not available every day.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah.
Unique.
Yeah. It's unique and it's an adventure, and we it's been such a joy to bring to the city, and we're excited to see it blossom more and more every year.
That's M. Pirro, Executive Director of the St. Louis Fringe Festival. Thanks, M., for being here again.
Thank you so much for having us, Steve.
Amanda Pintori is the Director of Fringe Family, and you'll be working all week, right?
Oh, you'll see me there.
Okay. And Bonnie, you're the Director of the First Time Puppet Theater, and they're presenting Landslide. And
correct.
Do you have a particular time? And
yes, I'm performing four times. Thursday night, I'm competing with Eddie Izzard, 9:30. And then there are different times on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all in the schedule.
Well, thank you for being here, all of you.
Thank you.
Have
thank
a great
you.
Event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, brunch, anyone? This is St. Louis Public Radio.